road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Hi, and welcome to The Drive. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy it. Today, I'm going to talk about a topic that may or may not lead us into some disagreement, especially with the choice of word that I'm going to use. And so let's just dive in. One of my favorite blog posts that I've written, one of my personal favorite ones, is one titled "I'm Going Rogue," and I'll put the link in the notes for this show. But I like this blog because it's a challenge as teachers to quit doing what we've always done because we've always done it that way. And I think it's really important that we never forget that our students are constantly changing, that the world we live in is constantly changing. It's getting smaller, it seems like, by the day. I'm driving right now in my car to Stillwater. I could just as easily right now, honestly, be Skyping with somebody in Germany. I'm recording this in the morning, so it's afternoon there. I mean, it's totally possible that I could be doing that. 10 years ago, not possible at all, really, to be doing that while I drive. And I could do it safely. I could just set my phone down and we could have a conversation. So, going rogue, for me, meant doing it differently. Exploring my teaching practice differently. Trying different things. Being intentional with what I chose so that I made good choices for my classroom. Going rogue, I also feel like, means that we can take some risks. And even if those risks don't necessarily work out, that good things will happen. That's kind of how this Going Rogue blog post went. And I really resonated with myself on that one, I guess. Selfless plug, or however you say that. But when you go in and you look at the traditional definition of rogue, it's not usually the most positive definition of somebody. You know, if somebody's a rogue character, they're sort of shifty or outside the, you know, they're a lawbreaker, or not necessarily somebody that you would want to be associated with. They tend to not be, you know, the most savory of people. But here's where my definition of rogue comes into play. I worked out a deal several years ago with a young lady that needed some calculus tutoring. And she agreed to babysit our kids for free if I would give her help on calculus when she needed it. And I love calculus, and I like dates with my wife. And so I thought, hey, this is a great setup for me. Basically free babysitting for doing something I already love doing, which is helping out with the calculus. No problem at all. None. And so what we did was we just made an arrangement. And she, this young lady came and babysat the kids a few times and allowed my wife and I to go out and have a good time and not worry about the expense of a babysitter when we got home, which little does this young woman know what a blessing she was to us in that way. And so we actually, it turned into a thing where even after this young lady had graduated high school and then gone on to college, she still offered to babysit the kids for free. She enjoyed that, and the kids enjoyed her. Well, on one of her first couple of trips out to our house, we lived sort of in the country, but not really in the country, but it was a large neighborhood, kind of in a rural area, in the suburbs. And her GPS didn't have the address for our house. And she'd been there once, but it had been a while. And so she was coming back out, and she texted me that she was running a little bit late, that her GPS couldn't find the house, and she was going rogue. And I loved the way she used that phrase. She was going rogue. She was off the charts. She was flying by the seat of her pants. She had a specific purpose, which was to get to our house. She had that goal in mind, but she also needed to explore her way there potentially and look for maybe landmarks, maybe not. And I love that definition of going rogue. And so I want to apply that now to our teaching, going rogue, along the lines of teach like a pirate, with some of the things that Dave Burgess talks about in some of his hooks, you know, with how pirates work. And so for me then, a personal definition for me of going rogue is one where I want to knock down the walls of the system that contain me. And not necessarily, and I want to be careful here and not suggest that anarchy is the rule and what every teacher should be every teacher for themselves. But what I want to suggest is working within the system, how can you do it differently? What can you change in your classroom that allows you to be the teacher you want to be and explore and teach your kids the way they need to learn? Because every group of kids is different. Every group of kids learns differently. Every group of kids changes every year. And if you're still using that purple Ditto sheet from 1982 that's still kind of wet and smelly, why? Why would you do that? How have you challenged yourself to improve in your practice? How have you challenged yourself to get better as a teacher, to reach more students? And so going rogue for me means to change it up, to do things differently, to try risks, to take educated risks, to be okay with failure along the way, as long as it doesn't become the standard, and to be okay with being uncomfortable. So I went rogue in my classroom, and here's what I did. I flipped my class. I was there was two teachers in our building. We had about 100, 125 teachers, somewhere around in there. It was a high school, and there were three at one point that flipped their class, and then it went to two. And it was me and my partner in crime, Christina. And for me, that was my first step to going rogue, even though I didn't know it. Didn't know that at the time. And what happened was I was significantly challenged in my practice because I'm trying this new way, this new model. I didn't know if it was going to work or not. I had no idea how it was going to look in my classroom. I had no idea what it was going to do for the students. I had no idea if it would be successful in the end. I just knew that I wanted to try this, that it had the possibility of having tremendous positive impact. And then it was completely different than what I was doing at the time. And at the time, if you had taken a teacher from the 1880s, single teacher, single room schoolhouse, and plunked them into my room, for the most part, they would have recognized that environment. For the most part, even though I tried to make it fun, it was typically me at the front of the room, walking the class through a series of problems, answering a couple questions, the bell rings, they're out the door. And I needed to get away from that because I didn't feel like I was connecting with as many students as I could. And I felt like I got along great with a lot of students, but I don't feel like I knew every one of them as deeply and as well as I could have known them. And so I was frustrated by that. And so I made this move to the flipped classroom. And I told the kids, I don't know how this is going to look. I don't know what it's going to do. There's a lot of things I don't know about this. I need your feedback. I need your parents' feedback. And if you have a question, you need to ask it. And we're going to dive in. And in hindsight, I probably shouldn't have said on that first day, I have no idea what this is going to look like. I think I opened myself up to some criticisms there, and rightly so. But I got better every year. So revisiting that first year that I flipped my classroom and went rogue and flipped my classroom, nobody else in the building did it. It was pre-AP Algebra 2, Calculus, and pre-AP Pre-Calculus. So I flipped three different classes in one year, which was a ton of work. I don't recommend it. And the Algebra 2 kids all took the end of instruction exam in Oklahoma. And all of my kids passed that exam. And a significant portion of those students were in the highest level of achievement that you could get on our EOI. And so for me, that was a mark of, hey, I didn't mess them up. Now, I don't know that flipped classroom works for every single student. And I'll just be honest with you there. I know that first year that I did it, there was a couple of students that really had a hard time with it. And part of that probably was my inexperience with it as well, because I think the years that followed, I tweaked my system of flipped classroom and it got better. So that was how I went rogue. I flipped my classroom and I was sort of intentional and sort of not. And I was out of my comfort, massively, massively out of my comfort zone. I was out in uncharted waters. I knew the end goal. I had an end goal. Get these kids to successfully take the end of instruction exam. That was my end goal. That was my purpose. And I moved in that direction the entire time. But if you were to go back and look at how that course charted out over the over that year, first year, it was crazy. So as I reflect on that, I went rogue from the norm. I got out of my comfort zone. I did it differently. I was thinking differently. I definitely was outside the box while inside the system. And I was still responsible for those students. And I feel like, for the most part, that first year, I met the goal that I had set for myself personally for all of those students. And so I went ahead and stayed with the flipped classroom, and I did it again the next year and the next year. So I flipped for all three years. And to be honest, I loved it, and I'll never go back to it, a lecture model again if I can avoid it. And the thing that happened when I flipped my classroom is I grew a lot as a teacher. I was able to critique myself and what I was doing by watching videos, and I didn't watch every single one, but I had to edit every single one. So I could find some of those mistakes that I made. I could put my stuff on the internet for students all over the world to use. And as of right now on my YouTube channel, and I don't push it, but on my YouTube channel now I've got like 300 or almost 400 subscribers. And I get comments all the time from students thanking me for the video that I put out there. That's an unintended consequence that I was able to help other people. I did a calculator video for my students, to do a couple of tricks on their calculator that I needed them to be able to do. And it's become one that's been viewed all over the world, like almost 4,000 times. That wasn't my goal for doing that. But because I went rogue and got outside of the normal quote-unquote system, I was able to add to some student somewhere that was struggling. And to me, that's amazing. And I still have a hard time wrapping my head around it. That's one instance of going rogue. Another way that I went rogue is then I tweaked my flipped classroom to become one where I used gamification and mastery learning. So gamification is taking gaming mechanics and putting them into the classroom, and then mastery learning says students can't advance to the next instructional unit unless they earn a specific score on the current one. And both of those were really interesting. And I was in the middle of that experiment and loving it and getting a lot of good anecdotal feedback from students. When I had to step out at the semester, I stepped out to start my PhD work. And so I went rogue there too. Nobody in my school was doing gamification and mastery learning. Nobody. And so that's definitely going rogue. That's going against the grain. But I was intentional with it. I didn't do it willy-nilly. I had a purpose. I wanted stronger learning. I wanted a more active environment. I wanted it to be as fun as calculus could be, which can sometimes be really tough. It's a hard subject. But I also had an end goal where in my mind, I wanted to see if I could get my kids further in calculus than I had ever pushed my kids before. And so that was the goal. And I think for a majority of my students, I was headed that way. So what is going rogue looking like for you? Maybe it's trying to do standards-based grading inside of a system that wants percents. I don't know. Maybe it's working, if you teach elementary school, maybe it's working the AR system in a way that you can give your kids more freedom than some of the rules that the accelerated reader assumes that you're going to follow. Maybe it's how you structure your school day or how you structure your classroom, or maybe you teach high school social studies and you go to the old good old days of centers like they do in early elementary. Maybe in early elementary you flip your classroom so that you can bring your parents in on what's going on. I don't know what going rogue looks like for you, but I think how can you step out of your comfort zone and be intentional? And along the way, you're going to fail. I made a ton of mistakes when I flipped my class. Every year I made a ton of mistakes, but they weren't horrible mistakes. They weren't mistakes that were interrupting a lot of the learning. And those mistakes that interrupted learning, I quickly resolved. And they're all unique. They're unique to you. But also, while that, you know, when I would have a failure in the flipped classroom or gamification or mastery learning, that was also, the students were still learning. They were still learning, they were still moving forward and getting better. So it wasn't like the whole system came to a standstill while Hazelwood corrected the mistake. But it was a process where even though maybe what I was doing didn't work out 100% like in my mind it did. I could make that correction. I could overcome that small failure, and the kids in general would still move forward. So go rogue. Do something different. Be amazing. Leave a large digital footprint. Have an impact in ways that you never thought about. Thanks for listening today. I hope you enjoyed the drive. As always, don't forget that you always make an impact on people, whether you know it or not, especially you educators. You'll have no idea. And be brilliant.